Everything's better with everything's.
One, two, three.
Everything's better with
books. Everything's better with books.
There's a delay on yours. I don't know.
Welcome to Book Talk, Etc., a podcast bound to grow your TBR. I'm Tina.
And I'm Renee.
And this is a conversational podcast about books and more from two Midwest mood readers who are easily distracted by new releases. And this week, we are celebrating Renee.
If you enjoy listening, we'd love for you to follow us on Apple Podcasts or subscribe on your favorite podcast app. And if you have a minute, please consider leaving us a review or rating on Apple Podcasts or sharing us on social media. All of this truly helps other book lovers find us. Hey, Tina.
Hi, Renee. How are you? How about that dramatic introduction?
I know it was so dramatic, but I think you forgot to mention us. Let's celebrate us.
Oh, yes.
Too.
You're right.
Us,
yes. Thank you. We will. We are celebrating us.
I appreciate that. And it's bittersweet, but I want us to really, truly celebrate this episode and revisit some of the super fun times we had, which was so much fun to look back over our episodes, our content. I really want to go out, you know, to finish up, to go out on a high note, because that's how we started.
That's how we started, yes. And I want to talk to, we'll talk in a bit about how we started and just sort of, not like our origin story, but there are some fun things I want to revisit. But so listeners, this is our last episode together. We will have an off week next week on the main show, and then we'll be back to the regular schedule after that with Hannah and I.
Yes, and I will be listening. I thought Hannah did a great job last week. That was fun.
It was so fun.
It was a great episode. Mm-hmm. We all, you know, for never recording together, all three of us, I thought it was great. Yeah. So I look forward to hearing what topics you two come up with, because after scrolling through 3 years of topics, like I was mentioning to you earlier, I was so happy with everything we have done and talked about over 3 years.
Like, not to be too pat ourselves on the back too much, but I'm looking through, I'm like, my God, I swear some of this we come up with on the fly or like 10 minutes before. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this was so good. And I feel for me in the beginning of the show, I was very much bound to my script. I wanted to know everything I was going to say before we started recording. That's not how podcasting works. And I feel like some of the best episodes or the best moments were when we went with it and just went with the flow and didn't have as rigid of an agenda.
Exactly. I agree. I've been a loose scripter the whole time. Yeah. And, you know, and I think for the most part, it works out. It has worked out. But I mean, we didn't start off too bad listening to some of our earlier, you know, bits and pieces of our earlier episodes. We've definitely improved.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of that comes from better microphones, which you can tell when we got the new mics.
Yeah.
That was a great, great idea from John, and he picked these out. Yeah, it's, so today we're going to talk about some of our favorite loving latelys that we each influenced each other to buy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And boy, is there a lot, but I thought we're on a time budget here today. So I have three that you have really brought that I really, really, really love. So, and then we will get into just some of our favorite episodes and some fun moments. And then share our books. We have two books that we're each bringing.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a bit of a method for mine, and then a shelf edition.
Yeah. And then we'll sign off.
For now. We will still be chatting with each other. This is not goodbye for us, but it is goodbye
for now.
For us on our weekly recordings.
Yes, we won't be doing our weekly recordings exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Well, you lead us in. You've been our leader.
I am the leader. and I laugh too, because on some of the early episodes, I can tell that I was less comfortable with letting the show unfold. And I was like, okay, so let's move on. Like, I would like not cut you off, but I'd be like, okay, and next, instead of like being in the moment. But next is my Loving Lately. And I was so excited to find this. One of my favorite Loving Latelys to bring our podcasts. Because I love a good podcast, specifically a series type podcast that has like one or two seasons. So my recommendation today is called Beyond All Repair. And I have to credit one of our listeners, Melody, for sharing this with me. She'd asked, hey, have you ever listened to this? I immediately took a screenshot, downloaded an episode. And then when we were on a recent road trip, I was like, okay, let's find a podcast. And I jumped right in. If you liked my recommendation of Bear Brook season 2, you should like this one. So Beyond All Repair is about a woman named Sophia Johnson. She was newly married with a baby on the way and became the prime suspect in her mother-in-law's brutal murder. She swears she didn't do it. And the host is Amory Sievertson, who reexamines this cold case or unsolved case, according to Sophia. It's worth noting that this podcast is not done yet, so there are new episodes each week, and as of this recording, it's through episode 7. So if it annoys you that there's not like a final episode, you might want to wait. I think it's going to be done here in a little bit. But I thought the host did a really good job slowly unraveling this story, because you hear from Sophia, and you hear her reasons and her rationale, and what's awesome is you also hear from her brother, who is a lawyer, and he's sort of reexamining some of the evidence in the case. And the craziest part about this is that the key witness is her other brother, who claims he was with Sophia when she committed the murder. And she's like, literally, that never happened. So you're like, what is happening in this family? There's a number of interviews, and I still don't know what to think. I have my theories, and Jonathan was listening to, and I was like yelling at him, like, it's this person. And then I was like, well, maybe. So it was fun. I think all the episodes are under an hour, and I think this is a great podcast to listen to for a road trip or if you're just looking for your next compelling true crime story. I highly recommend it. This is the podcast Beyond All Repair.
Okay, good. Yeah, you're a resident podcast.
Oh, I love it.
Go-to person, that's for sure.
I love it.
Okay, good one. I had to double check on my Loving Lately. I don't think I've brought this before. So this is my absolute favorite lip moisturizer that I use at night. Now, it's the Algenist Genius Liquid Collagen Lip. Very long name, which seems to be what we've been bringing for skincare things lately. I have brought an Algenis product in the past, which was my daily moisturizer, which they discontinued.
Oh, I hate that.
And I'm very, very upset about. So I am very surprised I haven't brought this to the show. It is exactly what it says. It's a plant-based collagen. So it's vegan, it's cruelty-free. Very, very easy on the skin. But what I love about this, now I have just reordered this with the Sephora sale, which is why it's like top of my mind, because I have probably been using this at least 5 years. This is what I put on at night. I mean, I don't know, maybe an hour or two before I go to bed. And the reason I love it, you put it not only on your lips, but you put it above your lips and like all the way around your mouth. And I swear,
like over your skin, onto your skin. Yeah,
you know, like right above where you might as you age start to get the fine lines above your lips. Okay. I swear that has significantly decreased the fine lines around my mouth. I mean, I don't have scientific evidence to back that up.
Listen.
But I'm saying, I really think it has. And I do notice a difference if I travel. I don't usually take it when I travel, and I don't know why. I tend to forget it. And I can tell a difference that my lips do feel drier. So I just love it. It's a repeat product for me. Let me tell you a little bit more about it. What it is, as I said, it's a vegan collagen lip serum, and it is shown to deliver fuller-looking, smoother lips with reduced appearance of fine lines and wrinkles. I think it does it. I think it works. They did change their packaging. I just, I don't know if I'm going to like it. It used to be a click where you click the bottom, you turn the bottom and it clicks up and it only puts out a very small amount. But now they've put it into like a tube. So I don't know. I'll have to report back someday on that. But anyway, I swear by it. I love it. So it's the Genius Liquid Collagen Lip Serum.
Love that. That reminds me, when the reason I reacted to you saying put it on your skin, that's like Lily when she grabs the Aquaphor, like she will just put it like anywhere.
That's over what
her
you lips, would,
under her nose. I'm like, geez, okay. That's what it reminded
you don't
me
need,
of.
You don't need to go as far up under the nose, but you do want to go around the outside of your lips as well, which kind of feels weird, but you get in the, you become used to it and then.
Yeah. Well, I like to be greasy anyway when I go to sleep, you know, soaking all that skincare.
I know. That's when they work.
All right. Well, before we get into the books, we wanted to celebrate Renee's last day with us. And gosh, we had so many ideas about things we wanted to share and just things we would like to reminisce on. And I sort of started with the creation of the show. And so some of you know this, some of you might not know this. Renee was the originator of the podcast idea in terms of doing a podcast. And I think you'd sent out a survey asking what people might want to hear about in a podcast and sort of had some ideas in mind about who you might like to podcast with. And I know that we initially spoke about it. And Lily at the time was, I think, maybe 6-7 months old. And I was like, I couldn't possibly. Mm-hmm. I couldn't possibly. So I said no, even though we had a really, really good conversation. And you inspired me then. I was like, but I want to, but I don't know if I had the time. So I thought, oh, I'll do my own thing on Instagram. So I started something called Second Year Spoilers, which I don't do anymore. But basically, it was author interviews where I talked about their books with spoiler. It's a spoiler chat. So I was doing that for a few months. And not a few months, I think maybe once or twice. And then somehow it came back around. And I was like, wait a minute, I made a mistake. Let's go for it. So thank God I did.
I know. I think I remember. Yes, I commented, you posted your Second Year Spoilers, like one of your interviews, and I DM'd you and said, wow, that's a podcast, Tina. I'm still holding out for you. And you were like, and then you, when you responded, you were like, you know what? Maybe let's talk about it.
Yes. So I'm so glad we did that. And then it was a long, I mean, it wasn't as though we just said, okay, let's turn on the mic, because one of my pet peeves when listening to podcasts is when there's no plan. It's just two people sort of rambling about whatever. And I'm like, we need a structure. Again, I'm more sort of tied to that structure. And so we came together and just thought of what we would want to talk about, things we love to read, you know, things we like to hear about from other creators. And so sort of came up with our format. And one of the things that I always have loved, my Instagram handle is TBR, et cetera. I've always kind of loved that et cetera piece, the whatever, let's make it to where it's not just books 100% of the time. So that's where the Loving Latelys came in, because we wanted to have a place to share products, podcasts, whatever else that are not necessarily book related. And I think at first folks weren't sure. I don't know that they loved that at first.
Right. I think you're right. And that seems to be consistently over time what we get the most positive feedback on is, man, I love those Loving Latelys. And because you just never know what we're going to bring.
Right. And I do think now people have come around to it. So got the Loving Lately in and we came up with the structure. And at first, I sort of forgot this until recently. We would bring a latest read and then three books under the topic. So we were bringing four books every week, which when I tell people, sometimes people ask me in like real life, like, how many books do you have to read a week? And I'll be like, three. And they're like, what? You read three books a week? And I'm like, well, no, you're sort of carrying over. But at first it was, we were bringing four books a week.
Right. I do remember that. That was nuts.
Yes. We quickly dialed it back because we were like, yeah, I don't know about that. And so we started recording. I know there are some episodes that'll never see the light of day because we didn't know what we were doing and sort of lost the scripts or lost the audio forever. And what's funny about it is that I brought the idea to my husband about the podcast. And basically, right away, he was like, great, I can edit. I said, what? What do you mean you can edit? He's not a video editor. I mean, I know he's edited some of his own like football highlight reels before. I'm like, what do you mean you can edit? He's like, yeah. And like, lo and behold, he's really good at it. So that was sort
he's really good.
Yeah. And that was sort of some of the things that I think made our show really strong. And like, even now when I listen to our old episodes, I'm not like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. The main difference that I hear is we're better at talking, but also the audio is improved because we got better equipment. But still, like, you know, we have been, I don't want to say tightly edited because we are a conversational podcast, but I mean, we've mm-hmm. been edited. Although I feel like I'm rambling now, so maybe not. Maybe this will be more rambly than normal.
I think John has done a great job, not only of yes, editing, but also leaving in the conversational part, because that's really what we wanted to make sure we were doing, because that's what we love. Mm-hmm. We love to talk, and we wanted that to stay in. So that can't be and shouldn't be perfectly edited, because that's not how conversations go.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I think one of the biggest things that has surprised me just doing a podcast for this long versus looking back at planning and, you know, you don't know what you don't know, but just the amount of work that does go into this. And I, you know, to make our podcast sound so good as far as you and as far as the books we talk about, and it becomes, you know, a bit of an art.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, you know, you wouldn't know that because you're just listening. You're walking, you're driving, you're at the grocery.
Yeah.
Who knows where you're listening to us? But it is a lot of work that goes into not only reading the books, but then being able to talk about the books in a way that is thoughtfully critical, or, mm-hmm. you know, if we're really excited. I know I speak for myself. I can get really, really excited about a book. And yeah, I mean, that comes across, right?
So, oh, I think so.
Sometimes that is, I mean, I don't want to temper that, but I also really have respected the amount of work that goes in, and you juggle it all with, you know, your other jobs, and you still, well, I mean, lots of people have asked me, how does Tina keep reading like that? I go, I don't know. I don't know that she has a secret.
Yeah.
I think, you know, she just does it.
I think the secret is I am somebody that doesn't like it, my brain is wired to go, go, go. And so what actually is interesting about having a podcast is it forces me to prioritize reading. It's something I love. But now it like gives me permission to read, which you don't need permission, guys. You read when you want to read. But I think when I get so busy, it's nice because I'm like, oh, you know, yes, you have a lot of stuff to do, but guess what? You're recording this week. So you've got to finish this,
yes,
that, the other book. And it also just naturally, I think, has encouraged me to seek out more books and sort of expand my listening or my reading tastes. And I think that was one of the things we wanted to talk about, was how our reading has changed over the years. I think we were smart to build the podcast around our normal reading cadence. So for me, it doesn't feel like work. This is my happy place. This is sort of my self-care, is coming to the basement and recording with you, or, you know, sort of working on the script, mm-hmm. finding new releases. I love that. And I'm grateful to you for helping us figure out a way to make this a part-time job.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes. I'm with you. My reading has expanded so much because of our format, the topics. I don't think I would have ever pushed myself to, you know, research books and discover how much I love researching books.
Yeah.
And where you have a special love for new releases and finding them, I have a special love for backlist, under the radar. I will research for hours to find an under the radar book, and then, you know, sample to hopefully land on something that I, you know, can bring to people that they haven't heard of or that they forgot about. I just love that. I don't think without the podcast, I'm not sure I would have ever done that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cool to think back, and like, it's almost hard for me to separate how my reading has changed from before podcast to now, because we were both on Bookstagram or had blogs for a while beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels so natural for me to talk about reading. I will say sometimes, though, our listeners are in mind when I'm reading. And so I don't mind bringing books that I have that I didn't like. What I don't like are books that I was like, meh, it's fine. Mm-hmm. I don't like the middle of the road. Make me feel something good or bad. And I have gotten really good, I think, at saying, okay, you might like this book if you like books with this, that, the other. Identifying those elements that I think if you like these things, you'll like this book. I find myself making a lot of pairings and comparisons. And I like that for me when I'm looking for, okay, what's my next book to add to my TBR? I like when they make pairings. Now, hopefully it's a good one and I'm not let down. I try not to take too much stock, but I like that. It's sort of shorthand for me. Like one of my books today was comped to Queenie by Candace Cardi Williams. And I'm like, yes, great. I know what you mean when you say that. So I feel like I've sort of worked on that. That's something that, that's how I review books.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, you just, okay, remind me to circle back when mm-hmm. we get to one of my books today, because you mentioning that specifically about comps, I want to come back to.
Got it.
I struggle with that. And also, I think having a podcast, you have to be careful about what you comp to, right? Mm-hmm. Because, so I want to talk about that a little bit more, but I don't know. I enjoy doing that too. And I think it's a skill to be able to pull those themes out from books and be able to say, yeah, you might like this, you might like that. I think that you're right. I think we've both tried to do that a little bit more. Yeah.
Another thing I think that we had in our minds when we first started the show, I remember we had sort of like pillars of things that we wanted to focus on. One of the biggest ones was community. And I'm very proud of the community we built. It's 3 years of Patreon content. And it's not just, you know, creating bonus episodes. That's certainly a part of it. I love doing that. I love our What's in the Mailbag. I've loved Criminally Booked and DNF chats and things like that. But I think what is so special is the relationships we've made with the listeners. People that come to Mood Reader Happy Hour. I know when they're running marathons. I know like when things happen mm-hmm. in their lives. We have our Discord channel. And so like, I get to see them pop in and like, I know who's adopted a pet and it's just so special. Also, like I was in Roanoke, Virginia this week and I had two different people say, oh, that's where I'm from. Like, it's just amazing. Before that, I was in New York I was on Long Island and I had people over there that I knew. And it's just so cool. Not just the podcast or Patreon, but like, all of it. I'm just so thankful that I feel like I have reader friends all mm-hmm. over the place. It's really cool.
Absolutely. Yes, I agree with you. And our Patreon community, their support has really been what's kept the show
going
for the long haul. Yeah. And I mean, you all are able to listen to the show without having to fast forward through any ads because of the patrons. Yeah. And it has just been, gosh, such fun. I'm with you. I've also made so many friends. Mm-hmm. I would never have met them.
No.
Without the Patreon community. Yeah. Just, yeah. And I'm definitely going to miss that. Outside of the podcast and you and everything, that's what I'm going to miss, the most. Yeah. It's a great community.
It is. I know. And you're always a part of it. You know that. Another, again, we love our Loving Latelys and we influence each other a lot to purchase things or try things out or what have you. So we thought it would be fun. I enjoyed going back through all of the Loving Latelys we've brought. Not all of them, because again, we have over 100 mm-hmm. something episodes. So there's been a lot.
It's a lot.
Mm-hmm. But I will tell you the things that I bought that you recommended that I love. One is a Chom Chom. Classic Chom Chom roller. That's to get dog hair off your couches. Mm-hmm. And these are my favorite Loving Latelys from you are your random finds. And I'm like, how in the world did you find this? I think the Chom Chom has gained popularity since you brought it. It was like our fourth episode. So love the Chom Chom. I love the Guard Your ID. The little roller.
Oh gosh, isn't that that's so satisfying?
It's a little roller that blocks out your address for mail. Love that. Very satisfying. And then the other thing is the AirPods cleaner, which I don't know where it is. It's somewhere. So much like I lose my AirPods, I lost my AirPod cleaner. But when I find it again, I plan on using it. I love that dang little kind of gadget.
Oh gosh, that's also so satisfying.
Yes.
And kind of gross to clean your AirPods.
I know.
Okay. I'm going to save your best your best loving lately for last. So something that you brought that I absolutely love, I can't get enough of right now, is the website Fantastic Fiction.
Love that.
You brought
so
that
much.
In episode 123. Mm-hmm. I know it's popular, but I hadn't heard of it till you brought it. And now I'm following all these authors, and it just let me know that Richard Powers has a new book coming. And I was like, every time, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so glad Tina brought this. Yes. Because this is perfect. I love that. Okay. In episode 5, you brought the Olive and June nail polish manicure kit, which again, I had never heard of them. I love that nail polish. So that summer, which was 2021, I ordered their manicure kit. Mm-hmm. It comes in a box and it has all the little fun things. Would you know, that nail polish is still good. I'm still using it. Oh, yeah. And I would never have found that without you. And I really, really believe that's the best type of nail polish to do your own at-home manicures. Mm-hmm. I love it. And it stays on anyway. Every time I pull that out, I think of you too.
Oh, good.
Yes, I do. I'm going to order some new spring colors, spring summer colors.
I have so many new nail recs and listeners. I've got another nail polish brand that I'll be bringing in a couple episodes because I have a new obsession that lasts a really long time. But teaser, I'm not telling you right now.
Okay, okay.
Renee, you'll have to follow our podcast and listen.
I'll be listening. I will definitely be listening for that.
There's so many things around the house though that I find that I'm like, oh, this, it like makes me think of you. Like another one that just came to mind is my dry bar shower cap.
Oh my
God. The best shower cap out there.
It's the best, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
excellent. The best. The dry bar shower cap.
Dry bar shower
cap. It really truly is the best shower cap. Mm-hmm. I mean, okay. You brought something, and it wasn't that long ago, and it has changed my cleaning life. You brought the Shark cordless pet vac.
That damn thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Now, I am always very skeptical about a cordless vac but you sold it and you said, you know, there's a long battery. It actually picks up the pet hair. We bought it. I just love it so much. Here's why. Mm-hmm. Because we do have a lot of wood floors, but so I can just pick that thing up, carry it with one hand to various places quickly, vacuum really, really quick. I can vacuum our main rugs where Vinny like sheds all of his hair in less than 10 minutes, really quick. All the hair's gone, everything, put it right back.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always like, I love that Tina brought this. I would never have found it because I was never even thinking about an upright cordless vac. Like I have a Shark cord vac and the cord constantly gets tangled, but I never even thought to Google cordless vacs.
I mean, and my in-laws had it and my brother-in-law was using it. I said, what is that? Because it's rose gold. He was using it to clean up around Lewis. What is that? And he's like, blah, blah, blah. And he was like showing me. And then you put it in the base and it sucks all the hair or whatever out of it. I was like, okay, I need this. Jonathan, you hear that? Renee likes it too because he has issues with it. But he has issues with all vacuums.
It works. It does get about, 40 minutes. It's so easy. It charges really quickly.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love it. It has saved me so much time for vacuuming.
Yep, I feel you. So in addition to loving lately's that Renee introduced me to, there are also authors / books Renee introduced me to. One of them I'm bringing today is now an auto read author. And you don't know if I've read this person.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So stay tuned, listen to the end. But the books that came to mind, because sometimes you just find one and I'm like, this is so good. I can't wait to I'm still waiting to read Leaving by Roxana Robinson. I just started it last night because it's our spoiler chat at the end of this month for patrons. So right away I was like, okay, yep, I'm in it. Tell me more. But the books that make me think of you are The Measure by Nikki Erlich. You were so early to that one. And I'm obsessed with Birthday Girl by Nico Wolf.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You made it it was like a Gone Girl comp that mm-hmm. actually lived up to that. And then like A House on Fire by Lauren McBrayer. You're really good at the morally complex stories. Yes, and I love those.
I do love those. Okay. So you, well, okay. One book in particular that you brought, one of the most memorable books that I think you've brought to the show that I dropped everything to read was way back in November of 2021. In episode 25, you brought Confessions by Kinnae Minato. As soon as you talked about that, I was like, I need that. I need to read that immediately. That book has stayed in my head. It's crazy.
It's dark. It's not graphic, really, but it's psychologically dark. I love that book. Oh, I'm glad that's one dark, that you think of when you think of me.
Oh, man. I definitely think of you. And I will tell you, now, I haven't read this, but you have really influenced me. I have downloaded it. It's going to be a slow book. It's for me, but I am going to tackle The Stand by Stephen King. I will definitely be thinking of you because, I mean, that's one of your favorite books. That is a Stephen King that you champion. And I'm thinking, you know, and Stephen King holds a special place when I think of us talking to. And that is one of my very favorite episodes that we did was our Stephen King special. And so I'm definitely going to read The Stand and see how it goes.
Oh, I hope you do. Yes. I kind of want to do a reread for sure. So, you know, let me know. Keep me posted. Oh, there's so many good ones. And I was saying before we started recording that one of the things I'm most looking forward to with Renee not being my co-host is that now when she finds books like these, I can read them and bring them to the show, which makes me really happy. So we're still going to get some Renee recommendations, just, you know, a little bit from a roundabout way. Mm-hmm. One of the, we were thinking about favorite episodes or funny moments. And one of my favorite moments came in episode 2, our Universal Recommendations episode. Renee is talking about Terry Hayes and how it's been however many years, 10 years
since he had written I Am Pilgrim.
Since he had written I Am Pilgrim. And like, we had gone into Amazon. You're like, it says something of the locust. And like, I was looking up too. And I saw all these reviews like, what a joke. It was so funny. And then to have you unfortunately finally get the book and not like it was, last year.
I hated it.
You hated it.
I was thinking about that too. What a road to travel from that very first or second episode to then actually getting the mm-hmm. Year of the Locust mm-hmm. and then hating it.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh. That's funny.
He's done writing, right?
No, that's Don Winslow.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I know you've got your guys that you love.
Okay. I do have a particular favorite episode outside mm-hmm. of the Stephen King special that I would like to talk about as one of my favorites. That is our buzzword episode,
mm-hmm.
Okay. Which was episode 9 back in July of 2021. I went back and listened to that because I could not, I suspected that one of my anti-buzzwords was cult. And I stand by that. That is still an anti-buzzword for me. Mm-hmm. But I thought that episode was so clever because, you know, to think about buzzwords and anti-buzzwords, and that also really continues to play in to my reading. And I wanted to see if I had changed my mind about anything. Mm-hmm. So for me, I had mentioned that I would choose plot-driven over character-driven any day. And I would say that that has changed for me in my reading now. Mm-hmm. I would probably choose character-driven currently over plot-driven. So you, Tina, had said that one of your anti-buzz phrases was in another life.
Oh, yeah. I stand by that.
Do you
I still
stand
don't
by
like that?
That.
I still don't like that. I want stakes. Like, I want it to be, you know, in this world I am not great with. Maybe we did this, maybe we did that. It feels like it was almost a dream sequence to me. And I know it's not. I know there's obviously more nuance than that, but that's just what my brain goes to. And I'm like, no, I'm okay.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we've had a lot of fun ones. So that one was fun to revisit. And really, my list would be too long to say about what my favorites were.
I know, because I have favorite topics, but like also favorite moments. I love the bookstore browse. That was sort of something you
That's on my list too.
Also, Kindle Graveyard just makes me laugh because I'm like, oh my gosh, who among us doesn't have these books that were like, yes, I need this 99-cent book, and it goes there to languish. So yeah, we've had some really good times. We will continue to have good times together. I did want to give you a moment to talk a little bit about what you're going to be working on in terms of Substack or just anything else that folks might want to know about.
Okay, yeah. I will still be reading. I have said that. I will be sharing my I know I'm probably going to be sharing my weekly reviews of what I'm reading over on Substack. And I have discovered that not a lot of people know what Substack is.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it is a platform where you just can find tons of writers. It's basically a modern day place to blog. I mean, blogging is coming back in the form of Substack. You don't have to have a membership to be on Substack. You can download the Substack app and you can find writers there that way, or you can just go on substack.com. And then if you would like to follow me, I'm at itsbooktalk.substack.com. You can sign up to subscribe. It's free. And then whenever I post something, it'll come straight to your email inbox. Or you can choose to only read that whatever I post on the app. You can, if you don't want to have emails in your inbox. So I'm going to be there and I'm still going to be on Instagram at itsbooktalk. But yeah, on Substack, I'm definitely feeling the old writing that I used to do on the blog. I'm feeling that there. So I'm planning on doing some weekly topics. I just did one on like spring reading or spring releases. You never know. I don't know.
You're a mood writer.
Yes, I am a mood writer. You never know what I'm going to be doing over there, but I would love for people to pop on over. And then maybe Tina, you would come over sometime too and do one of my, I did a little something called literary profiles where I am asking people in the book world questions, and you know how I love my questions.
Yeah.
So maybe you would answer some of my questions sometime, and I will have you over to do that.
Awesome. That would be great.
Yes.
Well, that's it, really, for the reminiscing. Do you want to get into books?
Yes, okay. I do want to get into books. I have two, and I had some specific goals in mind with books, but do you want to lead us in? I'm dying to hear what you read.
Yeah. So exactly. My first book is a book that I ended up really, really loving. I had no specific reason for grabbing it in terms of this episode. My second book is one of your favorite authors, and I would never have discovered this person without you. So I'll start with book one. It's called Jaded by Ella Lee. It's about a young lawyer who wakes up the morning after a work gala with no memory of how she got home the previous night and must figure out what exactly happened and how much she's willing to put up with to make her way to the top of the corporate ladder. So the main character's name's Jade, and she says, "It's not even my real name. Jade began as my Starbucks name because all children of immigrants have a Starbucks name," which I thought was a very kind of nice hook. And Jade is a successful lawyer, dutiful daughter, and sort of thinks that she is everything she has ever wanted to be. But then this thing happens. So I wasn't sure about this book based straight on the premise. I was like, okay, you know, I was mildly interested. I liked the cover. I had an arc, but I saw that it was comped to Queenie by Candace Cardi Williams, which I really like. And we were talking about how comps typically, you know, can pull us in. So I gave it a shot, and I'm so glad I did. Jade is a complex character. She is the daughter of mixed heritage immigrant parents who have given her everything to build this life in England. Jade is grateful, of course, but being the model daughter has come with a lot of pressure. She's feeling the pressure to honor her Turkish heritage and her Korean heritage, and also she's British, and often feels like she's burying some of these unique aspects of herself to make things easier, to make herself more palatable to everybody else and just to fit in better. And the decisions she makes are in line with who she thinks she needs to be. She's a workaholic in a law firm. She's a dutiful daughter. She's the perfect partner for her long-term boyfriend. But again, after a work function, she wakes up naked in bed without a clue of what happened the night before. She remembers being at the event. She remembers being pressured by the owner of the company, really, like the main partner, to keep drinking. And because there's a substance abuse culture in the industry she works in, she acquiesces and is sort of feeling pressured. And then she finds she can't remember how she got home. She starts to get little flashbacks and little clues about, hey, things aren't what they seem. And these clues shatter everything she's worked for. It causes her to question everything she thought she knew about herself. She can't decide what to do with this information. I will say it's worth mentioning that the assault happens off the page. So while rape is discussed, you're not in the moment with her. She has a lot of flashbacks, though. This book has a lot of elements that I loved in it. She is a lawyer, so you're getting that workplace setting and workplace drama and friendships, which I love. She is a woman trying to find her own way in a man's world. She is an immigrant, only child, filled with expectation and pressure. And she's exploring being in a relationship with a man who should be the one, but for some reason isn't really quite filling the role as he should. So the bulk of this book, you're right at the party, the very first couple of pages. So the thing happens very early. And then you get to know Jade as a character. And then you are with her as she decides what to do with knowing that she's been raped. And this book is so good. It will piss you off, but it's also a page turner and it's also relatable. And I just thought the author did a really, really good job. This is her debut, and I will certainly read whatever she has to say next. She is also Turkish, Korean, British, the author. So, and she went to law school. So it felt very authentic. Yeah, okay. Like it felt really real. And I loved it. I really loved reading this. It's not as heavy as you might think. It's more of a frustrating read, not in a bad way. Like it's more frustrating because you're like, God, I see why you're struggling so much, you know, and you're rooting for her. I really liked it. And I highly recommend It's Jaded by Ella Lee.
Okay. All right. Good. I can picture that cover.
Yes.
Okay, my first book is an upcoming summer release. Now, it is Bear by Julia Phillips.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. All right. So I realized while I was reading this, and I don't know if my mind picked it subconsciously. What I did was I started it late one night on my Kindle, and I didn't have my phone with me. It wasn't charging in the kitchen. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to sample some books and I'm not even going to pay attention to the pub date.
Yep.
I'm just going to see. So I started this and I really got pulled in. And then I went and looked and I was like, oh, it's June 25th, but that's okay. I'm into it. So, okay, stay with me. I know I brought California Bear last week, which was a serial killer book. This one is not a serial killer book, but interesting, my mind pick this one out too. All right. This is about Sam and her sister, Elena. And these two sisters dream of another life. Currently, they're on the island off the coast of Washington. It's San Juan Island, where they were born and raised. And the two sisters and their mother are basically struggling to survive. Sam works long days on the ferry that delivers wealthy mainlanders to their vacation homes, while Elena bartends at the local golf club. But even together, they can't earn enough money to get by, and they are super frustrated by like the push-pull of this. They're also helping to take care of their terminally ill mother. And she's not very old. She has lung disease. She was a manicurist and has developed lung disease from the chemicals. And then one night on the boat that Sam works on, that she is the bartender slash kind of snack person, I guess, she spots a bear swimming the dark waters of the channel. Where is it going? What does it want? And when the bear turns up literally on their front porch one night, Sam is terrified, and she is more convinced than ever that it is time to leave the island. I mean, she is biding her time to get off that island. But Elena responds differently to the bear. She becomes enchanted by its presence, which ends up throwing into doubt the sisters' plan to escape and puts their long-held dream in danger. Okay, this is a story about the bonds of sisterhood and the mysteries of animals that live among us and within us. Okay, and that's key. That is key because the bear is actually a bear. It's there, but there were times in the story I was like, is this bear for real? But it is. Okay, the bear is really there. When I say I really truly got pulled into the story, the writing style really grabbed me. It's very much literary, but it's that type of literary that also it pulls you in with the character-driven sister aspect of this. Like the pace of it was, I thought, a very fast type of writing style so that I immediately became invested and intrigued by these sisters, especially Sam. Her voice in this story was very strong. I felt like she was the most complicated, complex, yet well-developed character of the story. And I needed to know more. She made me laugh quite a few times in the story. I thought she was witty. I also very much understood that she was almost like a pressure cooker type of character. Like, I wasn't quite sure if she was going to make it. Was she going to explode? Was she going to implode? What was happening? Because Sam's entire existence and her way of life was built on this idea that she and her sister were going to get off this island because they knew their mom was terminal. And it was just a matter of like how and when, and she was living for the moment that they could leave this island. Okay, well, what happens when just about beginning with the bear, other things start to happen that are really going to put a wrench in that? And for me, that propelled the story. That really propelled the story along. I stayed up late reading this, which is really strange because on the surface, it sounds like, you're talking about sisters and a bear that's on their front porch.
Right.
Yes. But so the sisters bring in another particular character and she is an expert, like an environmental wildlife expert on bears. And that's how I knew. I was like, okay, this is for real. Although it did come across as like a mythical storytelling aspect to this, but they bring in this lady. And she is very much concerned about the fact that this bear does not want to leave. And what happens when Elena specifically does things that makes it so that this bear does not leave. Mm-hmm. Okay. I was so on board with this story, but it took a very, very strange turn towards the end, and I'm not going to say anything else about it, so much so that I was just like, this is so wacky. And also, I don't know if I actually understand this book like I thought I did. I have a feeling that there's going to be a lot of people, perhaps English majors, perhaps, you know, people with MFAs, I don't know, that are going to be able to understand what this author was trying to do better than I did. What I took from this was more of an environmental sort of like red flag on what are we doing as a society with wild animals. It kind of made me think of how people think about sharks and we get upset with them, right? When they attack someone, but then environmentally things are happening that make that happen. And same thing for the bear in this story. I get it. And also, I was doing a little bit of research. This falls into eco-fiction, mm-hmm. which is an interesting subgenre that I don't know that much about, but I can see why this would. Now, this is the book I talked about that I want to toss out a comp. Here's what I had thought about comping to this. And then I was like, and I was telling Katie from Basic Bees about this. I was talking to her on the side. And then I thought, no, I'm not going to comp to this. And now I don't know. Now I'm going to toss it out there. And you do with it what you will.
Okay.
And I'll ask you, Tina. I was going to comp this to Hello Beautiful because I know it sounds so strange,
okay,
right?
Okay.
But can I or should I comp to that? And here's why. the sister story in this book is so strong. And the relationship between these sisters is a driving force of this book, as well as the relationship with their mother. And because of the, it was so emotional at times and so complex and multidimensional that it reminded me of the sister relationships in Hello Beautiful.
Okay.
But I don't know if that comp even makes sense because if you pull out the themes.
Yeah. If you think of Hello Beautiful in terms of the sisters and also the mom in that story, there's a very complex relationship with the mom. So I can see where you're going. It's just obviously a different setting.
But here's my issue with that. If I were to say, if you liked Hello Beautiful, give this a try, would you pick this book up and expect it to be as grounded and as, you know, as wow factor as Hello Beautiful was?
I would. No, I wouldn't. Okay. But yeah. I understand the hesitation, especially because when you were describing this, I was getting a little bit more, and this is just my brain always goes to Migration by Charlotte McConaghy, or some of her writing, even Once There Were Wolves, very much about wildlife, about our role in nature, you know, humans' role in nature. And I think she would fall under the eco-fiction subgenre, which, by the way, I love. I'm like, now I'm dying to go do some searching and digging because I love that as a subgenre. But I see why you'd be hesitant to make that comp because those are big shoes to fill.
Those are big shoes. But okay. So I initially said, I'm not going to recommend this book. But then you know what? I changed my mind. If it sounds good to you, I say go for it. I ended up landing at a 3.5 because it would have been a 4-star except for that wacky last 10%.
Yeah.
It was wacky. But anyway, that's Bear by Julia Phillips.
I'm very intrigued. I will give that to you. Was that the one you thought I would like?
Well, yeah, I thought you would be interested in that comp.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay.
And because of sisters. You like sisters. I know you like sisters' stories.
I know you like eco.
Okay. And you like eco-fiction.
Because I don't like when they're mean to each other. Like when people like just can't get along. Like,
no, they're not mean. Uh-huh. And they're not mean. No, these sisters are super close in this book.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I like that. All right. So my next book is an author that Renee has introduced to me. My next book is Downriver by John Hart.
Oh, okay.
Have you read this one?
One of the John Harts I have not read.
Okay. So basically my thought process for this, I knew that I wanted to bring a John Hart to the episode. I knew that I didn't want to bring one that you had already brought just for no real reason, just for my own, whatever, challenge. So the ones that you have brought are The Last Child and The Unwilling. Right. Mm-hmm. And you loved both of those.
Yes.
Yeah, I think those are the only two that you've brought, if I'm not mistaken.
I've mentioned Iron House just as a mention because that's the one. Yeah, that's the one I had said I really thought you might like.
Yes, it is. And I have it and I'm glad I do because I loved this author's writing. And this won the Edgar in 2008, the Edgar Award for, I think, best novel. So I was like, okay, all right, let me see. So I just grabbed it and jumped right in. Adam Chase has a violent streak, and for good reason. As a boy, he saw things no child should witness, suffered wounds that left him misunderstood. He is a fighter. Even grown, he remains dangerous and unpredictable, so that when he narrowly beats a murder charge, he is driven out of town, exiled for a sin that he did not commit. For 5 long years, he disappears to New York, and now he is back to his small North Carolina hometown. No one knows why. Not his family, not the cops, not the enemies he's left behind. They're like, why are you here? And Adam has his reasons. He is attacked within hours of being home in sort of this, the tone of his homecoming is set. As bodies turn up and the town rises in anger, Adam again finds himself in the fight of his life, not just to prove his innocence, but also to reclaim the only life he's ever wanted. You've got secrets on secrets, you've got emotions and family and a lot of complications. I loved this book. I love him. I mean, I can see why. So I just started the book and it truly jumps right in. He doesn't waste any time explaining who Adam is, why he left town. Just know he'll get there. So he jumps right in. You don't get a lot of backstory. And oh my gosh, part of the fun was in the reveal. So I'm wary to even say much more than that. I just love that the author trusts in the readers. It felt like I was trusted to just enjoy. And like, he's like, okay, don't worry, I got you. And like, you follow along. If you like Southern books, if you like gritty books, if you like characters that are gritty, but still you're rooting for them, it kind of reminded me a little bit of Razorblade Tears in some way, because the characters are very, or I should say the main character and some of the players are gritty and they have their reasons, but lovable yet. And there's some violence too. And like, oh, there's some really good overlap there. I wouldn't call it a comp, but that's what kept coming to my head. I will say, you know, there's some, you'll be left with some questions. You'll have your theories. And, you know, I don't want to say much more than that. What I love about it is that it's very much a plot-driven story with really solid characters. And that is my favorite combination when an author can do both. I do not read series, you know this, but I was on this man's website saying, okay, does Adam come back? Do we get another book with this character? Because I really liked him. It was good on audio. And again, if you like sort of this Southern gritty fiction, I highly recommend this book. Don't bother with the cover. It's not beautiful, but that's totally fine because the story is really, really good. And again, he is now an auto-read author for me. I added him to my fantastic fiction list of authors to follow. Yep. And I'm so pumped to get more books from him. I went on Pango, ordered a copy of Downriver and The Last Child because I was like, okay, I know I'm going to read this. Let me just go ahead and get a copy of it. So thanks for the recommendation of this author. That's Downriver by John Hart.
Okay. You sold me on that, although I don't need to be, I mean, sold on John Hart. I've just needed to be reminded that there is still John Hart books I haven't read.
What a treat, right? I know. I'm so excited that he's got so many more.
Yeah, you have a lot. You have a lot of good reads coming. I will say to you and anyone else, you can absolutely 100% skip The Hush.
Oh.
Do not read. Yeah, don't even try it. It is. It is an outlier. It is, yeah, it's not great. It's not, and I'm not the only one.
Oh, okay.
You'll see on Goodreads, it almost doesn't seem like the same author. And that is the only one I would not recommend because everything else that I've read is super solid.
Oh, man. Yeah. Such a good crime fiction writer. Like, I can see why.
He's so good.
He won awards for this one.
Yeah, I'm anxiously waiting for another book. And also, I signed up on Fantastic Fiction for him.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Okay, my next book, I was in a thriller mood and I did not want to take a chance on any new thrillers that I don't know the author. So I thought, you know what? I'm going with a trusted author and I'm going to go with a book by this trusted author that you have consistently said, Tina, that you loved.
Okay.
It is Find You First by Linwood Barclay.
Okay.
Wait, what? Right? You said you love this one.
I do. Okay. I was confused. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I was confused because I thought you were saying, I say I love him a lot. And I'm like, you read more Linwood Barclay than me.
No, you, but this was this the Linwood Barclay that you said, whenever we talk about Linwood Barclay, this is the title that you've mentioned.
Got you.
Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, this is the one I'm going to go with since you had said you loved it. This one is about tech billionaire Miles Cookson, and he has more money than he can ever spend. And everything he could dream of, except time. He has recently been diagnosed with Huntington's, and there is a 50% chance that it can be passed on to the next generation. And for Miles, this means taking a long, hard look at his past, because 20 years ago, when he was younger and struggling and needed money because he wanted to buy this certain computer, he decided to be a sperm donor. And he has such a moral compass that he has said to himself, okay, I possibly have children out there. Long story short, he manages to find out in a very interesting way that he possibly has 9 kids out there. And they might want to know about the potential of, you know, having the choice to find out if they potentially could have this disease. And also he has decided that he is going to give them their inheritance now versus later. So he goes on a mission to track down each of these 9 now adults. So that begins his search. There are, like I said, 9 people. We start to find out a little bit about certain, you know, one or two of the certain 9, specifically a girl named Chloe. Now, we will get to know her, and eventually she and Miles will connect. And what they will end up finding out is that one by one, each of these potential heirs are vanishing. They are vanishing without a trace, and every single thing in their, like, in their homes and their surroundings is wiped clean. What is happening? Who is making them vanish? And what is going to happen when this or these particular potential killers come after Chloe? I tried to be, I know this is a bit convoluted on my setup, but there's so much to this story. I don't want to ruin a single thing. This is one of my favorite Linwood Barclays. Oh, wow. The way that this man plots a story. Mm-hmm. Oh my. I think he's just brilliant. And I do have to say, I'd listened to this on audio. George Newborn narrates. He was one of my least favorite narrators, but he seems to do every Linwood Barclay book. And now in this one, he really grew on me. Oh. I was like, huh, I can see why he's narrating the Linwood Barclay books. This is a great, great thriller. This is one of those thrillers that I can't even imagine where he came up with some of the twists and the turns and the way he is able to come up with ideas that are so intriguing and complex and out there, but he makes it work. And wow, this is one of the most original thrillers I've read. I binged this, I want to say in a day, but it may have went late into the night and the next morning. It's really, really good. This is a 5-star thriller for me. I don't know if you remember it, Tina, but if you do you remember if you gave it 5 stars?
I think I was just short.
Okay. It's a suspend your disbelief in places type of thriller.
Yes,
absolutely.
And I think that was where I was like, I like this a lot. The setup is so smart. Like, mm-hmm. And I sadly love a book where there's a character that has all of the money in the world and can do like whatever. Like, it's like a fun thought exercise, but I really did enjoy this one.
Yeah, this was good. So that was Find You First by Linwood Barclay.
Okay. Well, we've got shelf editions and I'm doing an Audible. I'm changing the one I was going to bring because I just got an email. And folks, we are getting a book 2. Of The Plot by Jean Hanf Korelitz. It's called The Sequel. I love that.
What's it called? The Sequel?
This book is called The Sequel, and it's book 2 in after The Plot, basically. It's a follow-up to The Plot. I loved The Plot. I was giving, you always say this, you're giving it a virtual cheers or a virtual clap. Mm-hmm. Like, I was clapping when I read this book. I loved it so much. I'm talking about The Plot. All right. I didn't even read the synopsis. Truly, I just got an email from Celadon, so we're going to read it together. Anna Williams Bonner has taken care of business. That is to say, she's, you know what? I'm going to not read you this because it's very much a spoiler. If you have not read The Plot, like they tell you what has happened. So let me see if I can tailor it a little bit. So I'm not going to read you this synopsis word for word, and don't read it if you have not yet read The Plot because it gives away the ending. I love The Plot, highly recommend it. And I'm going to try and tailor the synopsis for somebody who has not yet read it. But this one is from the point of view of the man's wife. She is working on her own book. It is her own debut novel called The Afterword. And sort of she's capitalizing on the scandal that happened with her husband. And when she publishes her book and indulges in her own literary acclaim, she begins to receive excerpts of a novel she never expected to see again, a novel that should no longer exist. That it does means something has gone very wrong and someone out there knows far too much about her and the family in the people she's around. What does this person want and what are they prepared to do? She has come too far and worked too hard to lose what she values most, the rights to her own story. And she is, by any standard, a master storyteller. That's it. So I am dying, but I'm shocked that they... I hope they fix this before it comes. I don't know. I don't want too many people to read that.
They shouldn't give away that.
Truly, the whole thing is given away within the first few sentences. So anyway, I'm excited. This one comes out later this year on October 1st. It is the sequel by Jean Hanf Korelitz that comes out again April 1st.
Okay.
Do you rank that one?
Loved,
yeah.
I love the plot.
Good.
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay.
I think you and I, well, yeah, that I think we read that.
Around the
same
time.
I can't remember which one of us brought that, but it was before our first episode aired.
It was. I know. I remember. Right? I literally remember I was in my old kitchen. I had just talked to one of the authors I was interviewing. Like, I remember where I was. That's how you know it was a really good story. I'm glad to hear that you liked it, too.
I loved it because I remember, too, that we were some of the... I remember thinking, gosh, Tina, there was a lot of people that didn't like this, but we both liked it.
I know. And I was like, y'all are wrong for that. No, I just love books. Anytime there's like a books with scandal in the publishing industry, sign me up. Publishing industry, lawyer, law firms. Like that is my catnip.
Yeah. I thought it was a really smart book. Mm-hmm. Clever. All right. For my shelf edition, I decided to use the StoryGraph feature that you like so well, which is the recommendation. Boy, this took me a while because I was putting in like a combination of three books here and three books there. Anyway, I wanted to land on one that I could bring to you because I think we would both like this. And also it brings in your love of When Bad Things Happen on the Ocean.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. It's called The Tears of Dark Water by Corbin Addison. Also, I've never heard of it.
No.
So I thought, you know what? Let's bring in something that we've never heard of. This is about Daniel and Vanessa Parker, and they are an American success story. He is a Washington, D.C. power broker, and she is a physician with a thriving practice. But behind the gilded facade, their marriage is a shambles and their teenage son, Quentin, is self-destructing. So Daniel, the dad, becomes desperate. And in his desperation, he decides to dust off a long-delayed dream of sailing around the world. Little does he know, the voyage he hopes will save his family may in fact destroy them instead. Mm-hmm. And there is more to the synopsis, and I'm not even going to tell you what it is because I think this is enough. Like, I'm intrigued. The ratings are over 4.0, so I was also looking for a backlist that had high ratings. So this one is The Tears of Dark Water by Corbin Addison.
Yes, I'm glad that you used my favorite way to get new book recommendations.
Does that tempt you? Do you think you'll try it?
I'm tempted. I will try it. Okay. Yeah, that would be a fun full circle. So I hate to say it all, but that's it for today. We thank you for spending a part of your day and a part of your last 3 years with us. I'll be back. Renee will be elsewhere. Right. But links to all the books and things we mentioned today, all that we can, will be in the show notes. And please, if you enjoyed today's episode, I would still love for you to follow us wherever you listen, leave us a good review, and help, you know, get our show out to new listeners. I'm sure we will get some new listeners with Hannah's edition. And please don't leave me yet. Give us a chance, even if you love Renee, as I so very much do. And of course, we will still have our Patreon community. And if you'd like to join us over there, it's $5 a month on patreon.com/booktalk, etc.
Before I sign off, I do want to say thank you, Tina and John, for such a fun 3 years.
Yes.
And thank you, listeners, for bringing us into your ears. This has been so much fun. So I'm going to sign off and say, if you'd like to connect with us, email us at booktalketc@gmail.com. You can also find us at booktalketc on Instagram, Tina at TBRetc, me, Renee, at It's Booktalk, Hannah at Handpicked Books, and Tina and Hannah will talk to you in 2 weeks. But in the meantime, remember,
everything's better with books. Why is that so hard?
Oh my gosh.